Dave, can I interest you in some high-speed rail accessories? And welcome to I'm Trying to Think, episode 5. I'm your host, Chuck Warner, and with me, as always, is Dave Stern. Say ni hao, Dave.
Ni hao.
Ni hao.
Wait, is that this Japanese?
That's Chinese.
Is it Chinese?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not one of those people who knows languages from another culture.
I don't think I know a Japanese greeting. That's a weird. Maybe I'm just blanking on it. Sayonara is the farewell. Regardless, I'm Trying to Think as a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check out foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. Don't Google it yet.
Oh, no. That would end in failure. Failure and sadness.
Our opening song was Susudio by Phil Collins for absolutely no good reason.
Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable with that?
I'm willing to live with it.
That's good.
I'm trying to remember, was Susudio one of the things that Christian Bale talks about before, like, murdering a prostitute in American Psycho?
It's possible. I thought he mostly talked about Huey Lewis in the News.
That's one
but
of
I know
them.
That another point he does talk
He's
about
mentioned
Genesis
in Phil,
or Phil
Collins.
Collins.
So I think he talks about Susudio.
That's from No Jacket Required, which is Phil Collins' big freaking album. It's his third album, actually, but it's the big one, let's be honest. And I have no idea what Susudio means. Do you have any idea?
I think it's supposed to be a name, but that's my guess. I don't know.
Well, here's the Wikipedia explanation, if you're ready for it.
Oh, man, what do some random jerks on the internet tell me it is? I need to know. I need to know.
Collins has said that he improvised the lyrics. Collins was just playing around with a drum machine, and the lyric Susudio was what came out of his mouth. So, a quote from Phil, so I kind of knew I had to find something else for that word. Then I went back and tried to find another word that scanned as well as Susudio, and I couldn't find one. I think he was being a little bit liberal with the use of the term word. But anyways, continuing his quote.
Yeah.
So I went back to Susudio. According to Collins, the lyrics about a schoolboy crush on a girl at school. I love Wikipedia grammar. A schoolboy crush on a girl at school, as opposed to a schoolboy crush on a girl
who lives
in the forest behind his house or something like that. And Collins' older daughter actually has a horse named Susudio.
So it is a name, kind of. I was right in that sense.
Well, it's supposed to be, I think it's supposed to be the name of the girl. I don't know. But at least now when I listen to the song, I will think of the horse.
Yeah, mostly when I listen, well, in fairness, when you listen to most love songs, you're thinking of horses. Especially Goodbye Horses.
Yeah, mostly Goodbye Horses.
But yeah, also Wild Horses. Also Horse with No Name.
I don't think I ever listened to Wild Horses.
Oh, that's weird.
With No Name I listened to. Are you talking about Wild Horses, the Rolling Stones song?
Yeah.
It's ballady. I don't really like the Rolling Stones ballads as much.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Give me, a good, a beat Rolling Stones song.
Yeah, I could have probably given you... Like
you give me
5 to 10 suggestions. I just wanted to see how long
that pause would go. I was trying to think
of
one specific one, and then I lost it just as I was trying. Oh, Hang Fire is the one I was thinking of. Love that song.
Okay.
Love that song. Love their version of Harlem Shuffle. That's also good. Yeah. But, Phil Collins, one interesting thing I always liked about Phil Collins is his balding. It's all very... It's got a little spot in the middle sometimes, and then it goes back. It's got like a half moon if the moon were shaped much more like a C than a moon.
Like a C, like the letter, not
like
the
letter
ocean.
C. Or an ocean. It could be an ocean. Oceans could be shaped however they like.
Yeah. Well, you have clearly spent vastly more time contemplating the head of Phil Collins than I have.
I just want to find something out. No Jacket required big hit album for Phil Collins. But just as a matter of trivia, can you name another song off that album?
Is In the Air Tonight on that album?
No.
Well, we've run through the Phil Collins songs Collins I know.
Songs that you know?
Yep.
You could go with Don't Lose My Number. You know that song?
Sure don't.
Okay, well, maybe One More Night? No?
No.
Nothing? All right, well, now we know some things about Dave Stern. He is not a Phil Collins fan. I bet if it were a Hall & Oates album, you'd know.
No, probably not, actually. Remember, I talk about them. I mention their name a lot. Don't actually know many Hall & Oates songs.
All right. Well,
if I had to be picking a solo member of Genesis whose stuff I'm at least aware of...
You'd pick Daryl Hall?
No, actually, I was going to say Peter Gabriel. I do know some things about music where I don't just blank out and say Daryl Hall.
People... I often hear people who I think want music cred to say that they say that they like Genesis better with Peter Gabriel in it, but I can't actually name. I don't think I can name a single song from Genesis with Peter Gabriel in it.
I don't think I can name a Genesis song, honestly.
I can name a lot of Genesis songs, and I can name a lot of Peter Gabriel songs, but the crossover, it doesn't even make sense to me that he was ever in that band. I don't even consider them in the same. You know, field of play. I would never listen to a Genesis song and then a Peter Gabriel song. I would listen to a Genesis song and then a Phil Collins song because they're indistinguishable. Like, In the Air Tonight, that's a Phil Collins song. Are you telling me it couldn't be a Genesis song?
No, it could have been. They would have just had to be wearing, from what I remember about Genesis, they would have had to be wearing costumes while they were singing it. That's the only difference. Although I think that's an early Genesis thing. I think... That might actually be the difference between Gabriel Genesis and Collins Genesis.
Peter Gabriel made them wear costumes?
Yeah, basically, Gabriel Genesis was like art student-y, like, we will wear silver face paint kind of band. Whereas Phil Collins Genesis was like a pop machine.
Yeah, pop machines are good. I like pop machine.
I like Pop-Tart machines.
Are they Pop-Tart machines? Are they like pop machines?
I think most people call them toasters.
Oh. I was thinking of like a vending machine that would... spit out warm Pop-Tarts. Tell me you wouldn't buy from that vending machine.
It's like a vending machine with a toaster in, basically?
Yeah, it would have like a light toaster. Couldn't come out too hot, obviously, because people will sue.
Mm-hmm.
But you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
It would toast the Pop-Tarts and then serve them to you.
Mm-hmm.
Lightly, warm, and
toasted. Wait, serve them to you or perhaps fling them at you? Again, we don't want to get sued, though.
Again, we don't want to get sued. But I like a pop machine.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, I promised earlier in one of the episodes, I don't know, episode 1, episode 3, episode 14, that in episode 5 we would maybe discuss the titles that we came up with before I'm Trying to Think.
You did mention that, and yeah, let's do that.
That seems like an opportune time.
It feels like we should keep our promises, because we are men of our words.
I have a couple titles that I had written down in my head. Or I'd written down, or we had discussed. Some of them I don't think we actually discussed, but they were in my head, and I kind of dismissed them before they reached the discussion
phase.
Okay,
so you have some titles that never even escaped your brain. Never, well, they got to paper, but they didn't get to me.
They never got to you, yeah.
Okay. We can run through some of those, and I have a list
you have. Let's start there. Because we went over a lot of names. We're trying to think, of a thinking man's... podcast, right. And I'm trying to think.
I think
really
considering that we had, you know, we were looking for, you know, a sort of intellectual, you know, deep in our heads, you know, really thinking about stuff. One title that I think I've already actually mentioned this somewhere on the podcast before, but one title that really got a lot further than it should have was Vagina Mite.
Yeah, Vagina Mite. I don't think we could have really gone. That's one of the problems we came up with many of the titles was people would think the show was about something else.
Yeah, also...
I don't know what the average person would conclude from the title Vagina Mite. I just know it wouldn't be what we were discussing.
Maybe either pornography or, like, mid-90s, like, Riot Girl music.
I don't know.
We're playing a lot of Bratmobile.
We're very talented. I think we could have done a show called Vagina Mite and made it good. Mm-hmm. That's just not what we were going to do.
Right.
We could podcast anything. If you want us to podcast a show about, you know, miniature dollhouses, like that kind of thing, or a show
Hold on, question.
As opposed to full-size dollhouses,
yes. Yeah, so how big is a miniature dollhouse?
Any size that isn't one-to-one scale house.
Which, are you just saying a miniature dollhouse you could have a full size dollhouse?
No, but yeah. But the thing about it, you could have a full-size dollhouse with full-size dolls. It's just creepy. You could have a double-sized dollhouse. With
basically dolls that are twice as big as people?
Right. Just that would huge actually be dolls.
Friggin' amazing.
It'd be fun, maybe, to go into like a 10-to-1 sized dollhouse so that it's 10 times bigger than your house. So you could like pretend to be one of the Littles, you know, from the cartoon show.
I vaguely remember that show existing.
I think there were a series of stories, too, but...
Yeah. Yeah. I vaguely remember both the books and some sort of media. I don't know, if you're talking little people-oriented media, I think the one I mostly remember is David the Gnome, which was terrible.
Yeah. The point is if somebody paid us, we could do that show. But nobody's paying us to do that show, so we're not doing that show.
Yeah. Also a point worth making is it's a terrible title.
Vaginamite would be a terrible title, especially if you were doing a show about dollhouses of varying scales. No one would get it then. You know, you would be leaving behind everybody.
No, I mean, if we were doing that podcast, we would have to call it Holy Shit Giant Dollhouse.
That might be, we might have to, after season one of, I'm trying to think, we might have to just do a couple test episodes of Holy Shit Giant Dollhouse.
Yeah, I think that's an untapped audience.
We would need to find some guests, because that's really, I mean, there's a lot of visual elements to Holy Crap Giant Dollhouse. So you have to get guests in who just can maybe tell fun stories or, you know, describe procedures or something.
Or it's our first foray into video. You know, it might have to be a video podcast.
We could have to, a video podcast, which should, I guess it doesn't need to have a different name. I guess video podcast is a fine name. Because podcast doesn't necessarily infer sound only.
No, it did back, like, in the day.
Back in the day.
They can put video
back
on your
pods. Back in 2003.
Now. The fucking Stone Age.
Yeah, the Stone Age.
But yeah, they can put video on your pods now.
That's good. But what's let's go to the next title. What's our next title that didn't happen?
Well, you said you had some.
I have some.
I probably hadn't.
This is one that
seen.
You came up with, but I have written down. Sweet Head Resonance, or That Sweet Head Resonance.
Yeah, I've got that. It's from something, and it's a catchy phrase.
Isn't it from, I think it's one of our discussions, just, you know, that we have when we're not recording ourselves.
Oh, no, I remember. That is from basically how your voice in your head sounds awesome and resonant.
Right, and then out loud, I sound like a weird nasal
jackass. And I sound just like a horrible human being.
Well, I sound like a nasal jackass, and you sound like a stuttering idiot.
Right.
No offense, but that's just how we sound. Don't make fun of people with stutters. That's just rude.
Yeah.
You just sound like you can't actually think. Like you're constantly trying to think, which is good because it fits the actual title
that we
chose. Yeah, it's
true. The first time we put microphone to mouths, I was just a ball of horrible vocal tics.
Yeah, it took you a while to get sentences out. Yeah, it still does, but now I like it as kind of a signature voice style.
Also, now
whereas
I do it like
I'm
maybe
still a
half
nasal
as
jackass.
Much. I do it maybe half as much.
A nasal jackass is not a signature voice style. It's just horrific sounding. I mean, it's just terrible.
I mean, but yeah, that title, you know. It's a kind of catchy phrase. It's nice for having to do with that, you know, disconnect between, like, you know, this is the dulcet voice I hear in my head, and this is me this is how other people hear it. Right. But that, again, wasn't super relevant.
We should take a brief aside here to talk about what sort of title we were looking for, because it's no secret in the podcasting world that titles are usually little witticisms, little fun little turns of phrase. And that's kind of what we were looking for. We wanted to be one of the crowd.
Yeah.
Well, one of the crowd with a different name.
The crowd is where all the people are.
The crowd is where all the people are. So if people see a witty podcast name, they're like, oh, witty podcast name. I want to listen to that witty podcast because I like, or witty podcast, wittily named podcast, because it might not be witty actually, but I like the name of that podcast because it's witty, and other podcasts with witty titles are good, and so I will move from this to the next.
Okay, as an aside to the aside.
Yes.
You know sometimes when you're listening to a sentence that has a word in it a lot, and suddenly that word just loses all meaning and sort of becomes like an abstract collection of signs,
syllables. You've lost witty is what you're trying to say. It's gone to you now. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll recover it later.
Yeah, that's like kind of a semiotic thing, isn't it? Like, basically, it's essentially the word loses its
symbolic meaning. Yeah,
yeah, its connection to its to the thing that's being signified, and it's just an empty signifier. That's
if
like,
I were much more studied in linguistics, I could tell you that in linguistic speak, which would use the word signifier and symbolic and things, and it would sound really beyond anyone, even me. I wouldn't even know what I was saying. But yeah, there's a certain repetition creates a disconnect between the meaning signifier and the word that is used. So what's I know one of our titles here that we discussed a lot was witty too. Irregardless was going to be.
That was the running sort of sub-theme of titles, and we just sort of discarded the whole sub-theme.
Yeah, I actually have a whole nother thing was...
For some reason, there was a brief period where we were just like, we want the title to be a phrase that's wrong.
Yeah, for all intensive purposes.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Of all the, you know...
Just phrases that are wrong.
Phrases that are wrong, you know, the misconceptions people have that this is the way you say it, but it's not. All intensive purposes is my favorite. Because there are proper ways to use it, and I try to use it properly whenever possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sun is very bright today, and I have these sunglasses for all intensive purposes.
Right,
so... That's just fun I have with that phrase. So those are some things I have. What else do you have down as possible titles?
I think,
see, that's why I'm trying to think of such a great phrase for us, because we just say it in passing all the time.
Yeah, that wasn't even me trying to be clever or
intentional. No, it wasn't.
That shit just happened.
That is real. That was for real.
Yeah, I think it's about time to wrap this segment up. So I think the last one I'm going to go with that's interesting was actually probably choice number two. Like, if we hadn't called this, I'm trying to think, this is probably what our podcast would be. And that was, what have you done to deserve this?
Yeah, what have you done to deserve this? That's a good one.
That's a good one.
There was another one that I kind of liked for a while, but it was hard. It was hard to justify me liking it, and it's not really a great title, but I love it as a phrase, and that's, by you, we mean we.
Yeah, that was just too fucking twisty and...
Yeah, it's messy and hard to do. Annoying. But what we settled on was I'm trying to think, and I came up with that. I remember having it in my brain and said, oh, Dave, this is the title, because... The phrase I'm trying to think has a significance to me outside of other human beings, because I say it when I'm talking to myself, and it causes a sort of feedback loop in my brain where I'm like, what do you mean? Why are you telling yourself to wait? And I'm trying to think, you know?
Yeah.
I tell myself sometimes.
I got this. I'm formulating a plan.
It's like, wait. Your brain, you're talking
too
much.
Yeah, you're dialoguing to yourself. Yeah.
Calm down. I'm trying to think of something.
Disaster.
Right. And that, I love that as just the thing that my brain does, because it makes no sense. Why would I tell? Why are you telling yourself that you're trying to think? Of course you're trying to think. That's the only thing that's going on in your brain when you're talking to yourself. Right. Yeah. There's no one here. You're not talking. You're not doing anything. You're just thinking. And the other thing about it is that when you say I'm trying to think, it usually means I'm trying to think of this specific thing. And I'm racking my brain for it. But as just a phrase, I'm trying to think. How hard is it really to think, you know?
Not.
Yeah.
It's kind of a default.
It should be a default state.
It's how a brain
goes. So that's why I like the title on many levels. I think that's why it was... When I presented it, it was an easy sell, and we went with it. So there you go, the long and sordid history of I'm Trying to Think.
Yep.
Brought to you here in episode 5, exclusively. Yep. And maybe when we get bored, it's like in episode 15.
Month and a week, good time to start kicking out the nostalgia vibes.
Yeah, I don't think that we've mentioned explicitly that there are 4 negative episodes. Well, I guess 5. Are there 5 negative episodes?
There are a couple pretty negative episodes. There are a lot. There's a lot of strongly negative episodes. Let's be honest.
There's 4 negative episodes and a null episode. Because we did, as practice, episodes -4, -3, -2, -1. Was that right?
I think it's only... I think the count starts at -3.
Okay, it's possible the count starts at -3. And then we have episode 0. And then we actually started to publish when we hit episode 1.
Yeah.
But... you know, when we have lots of fans and they're paying big bucks to hear us talk, we will throw that out there as exclusive premium content for them.
Like the people, I like that as a plan. There's a certain amount of like
get our weird... shitty.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you're one of our secret bonus customers, we will spoon feed you poop.
All the crap that you want. I actually think a better premium service or another premium service that people would pay for if they liked us, which they don't. But say we were good and this was an interesting podcast that people really wanted to listen to.
You know, honestly, maybe it would be better if we had a premium service where it's like, if you pay, we give you like a shorter show that's just the funny parts.
That's not a bad service. I was going to say that they could listen to us doing the show live and realize that often we're terrible and stuff drones on and we have to cut it, and that would be fun for them, for our fans that don't exist.
Speaking of droning on,
yeah, we're going on a little long. We'll take a short break here and we'll be back with more I'm Trying to Think. Welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 5. I'm still Chuck Werner. This is still Dave Stern with me. Dave.
Yeah.
I've been hearing, often, very often, this new song by Dave Matthews, Funny the Way It Is.
Yeah, I think I've heard like half of it.
It is on the radio constantly. I don't listen to the radio. I don't drive around the car very often. I take public transportation.
Because you're eco-friendly. You're responsible.
Yes. And let's say that. Let's say that's the truth. But I do definitely take public transportation.
You're too cheap to get your car fixed.
Yeah, there's that. I don't listen to the radio very often. But every time I get in the car for a short trip, I hear this damn song.
It's on. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind that because that's still not super exposure to me. But a person who listens to the radio constantly must be... their ears are bleeding from hearing Funny the Way It Is.
Probably.
Too often. So just to, but probably most of our listeners have heard it. They don't realize it, but...
I don't know, because that assumes people still listen. Especially, like, if anyone's going to not be listening to the radio anymore, it's podcast people.
It is podcast people. But here's a bit of that song for the people out there so they can know what it sounds like and kind of get an idea of it.
Okay, what it sounds like pretty much is... I'm just making fun of you.
Here's what it actually is.
I can also show you what it is. Funny the way it is, if you think about it. Somebody's going hungry and someone else is eating out. Funny the way it is.
Okay, so that's Funny the Way It Is. Now, I noticed an interesting thing about this song. Content-wise, in the lyrics, it reminded me of another song that was very popular and played way too much, probably still is played way too much, Alanis Morissette.
Is it played?
Yeah, it's played.
Okay, probably too much then, yeah.
By Alanis Morissette, called Ironic, okay? And we've all heard the song, but just give him a sample, Dave.
Of Ironic?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Give him a sample, just a little sample.
Okay, you know, fine. Just because everyone knows it and I don't feel like digging it up. It's like rain.
No, seriously, just play, play the damn song. Yeah, that's how it goes. Oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, you deserve that. That's what you earned for saying that I need to sample, put in Ironic, because people might not know the song.
I'm just trying to be helpful.
Everyone knows the song.
I'm just trying to be helpful.
Everyone knows
the song.
All right,
the point is that the lyrics have a similar bend to them. Because in Ironic, Alanis Morissette unsuccessfully tried to capture the concept of irony, usually just kind of capturing tragedy, or I think maybe coincidence a couple of times.
There's a couple things that do, you know, satisfy reasonable requirements for situational irony.
Right.
There's a couple things that suck. There's no dramatic irony
in the song. For instance, the first line is about an old man winning the lottery and dying the next day. That can't be ironic, because you expect old people to die.
Yeah, that just, it sucks.
So it doesn't break any expectations even. Right, it's just shitty. A black fire in your Chardonnay, it's only the black-white thing. That's dumb. Not ironic. So the point is, she goes through most of the song completely failing to capture any sense of the word irony. And I'm not even talking about the douchebag pedants who will argue about what irony is and fight over all the different senses of irony that there are. I'm not even talking about people who have English degrees.
Right.
I'm talking about just your average listener who understands what the word irony means, which probably isn't your average listener. So it's completely failed. Dave Matthews does a similar thing, kind of just these tragedy kind of coincidence or maybe some irony in the song of the lyrics, but he frames it a different way. Very smart. Knowing he might not really understand what irony is, he just says, funny the way it is. Yeah. Hey, that, yep. You know,
and that's
funny.
That's a lot harder to disagree with.
Right. It is, you know, so, yeah, I mean, stuff is weird. You know, things happen at weird times. The coincidences occur. That's funny.
Right.
I mean, yes, it is weird to live in a world where somebody is starving and somebody else is paying $100 a plate for a meal. It is weird to live in a world where, well, I mean, one of the lyrics I like is, you know, somebody's heart is broken, it becomes your favorite song. You know, that's kind of, that is a nifty transition there. But I just wanted to compliment Dave Matthews, because he's a listener,
He doesn't got nothing better to do.
What else he got to do, right? He's already got a fiddle player. He doesn't need to search or do anything else with his life. I don't have a fiddle player yet, so.
I don't know, he might need to find a new saxophone player. Like, I think, didn't the guy, fat African-American saxophone player die from either being fat or doing too many drugs?
Aren't there lined up around the corner to replace him, though?
Like, I'm pretty sure that's why the album has the ridiculous title it has. Or at least,
I don't know what the title is.
At least
even.
50% to blame for that.
I don't know what the title is.
Okay, well, I will tell you, and I think you will agree with me that this is
one of the worst
album titles in recent memory.
Yeah.
Because that new album is Big Whiskey and the Gru Grux King.
Yeah, I did. I remember seeing that actually and thinking, that's awesome. I think a Gru Grux is in the old, like, Dungeons & Dragons Monster Manual 3
or
something.
That sounds more like Lewis. Like, that doesn't even sound like fucking the Gru Grux, Dungeons & Dragons. That sounds
Four eyes and six legs, and
it
has a slime
Seuss.
Attack.
It's Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, that's the half the stuff in. Seuss. What do you think half the stuff in Dungeons and Dragons was named after?
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of sneeches.
Catableepus, come on.
There's a lot of sneeches.
Yeah, and things like that. But anyways, I just wanted to compliment Dave Matthews for not trying to make that song.
Basically, for not failing in the same way.
Right, for not trying to make that song intellectual when it clearly is just, you know, just a simple kind of observation.
Well, basically, what that song is, to me at least, and because I've got
to
say, I'm a man who, you know, I went to, you know, a private high school in New England, you know.
Yes.
I wore the khaki pants, you know, back in the day.
Right.
Although, now that I think back on it, I think I usually still just wore them with, like, a schmucky t-shirt. So I still must have just looked like someone who had no idea what's going on. It's not like I had, like, a full preppy uniform.
You just wear khakis and a t-shirt.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
It's not completely ridiculous, but there's a hint of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculity? I don't know. There's a hint of weirdness to it.
But anyhow, the point you're driving at is that, you know, I am from a background where someone might be fairly familiar with the Dave Matthews Band, and I am. You know, I was a fan in high school. I still like, you know, a bunch of their songs.
Right.
And basically, this song falls neatly into a sort of subcategory of songs he does.
Right.
Which basically, I would say, are like high school sophomore social commentary songs. Because basically, I would say there are, in music, you get kind of different levels of, you know, commentary, you know. You'll get like, you know, some musicians, you know, legitimately, you know, sophisticated, interesting, biting social commentary.
Okay.
You know, that'll happen from some musicians, sure. You know, some, you know, a lot of times, like, for me, then there's the sort of paradigm example of, you know, Rage Against the Machine, which I would say is second semester college freshman sort of social criticism music. It's basically, it's like a Rage Against the Machine is the music of someone who suddenly noticed, like, hey, next to the campus paper on this little tray, there's also this Xerox socialist newsletter. And, man, these guys have got some ideas. And then suddenly you care a lot about Mumia.
All right.
You know?
I don't know. Do they care a lot about Mumia?
Rage Against the Machine or Xerox Socialist? Rage Against the Machine. Yes.
I know Xerox socialist you know, papers do, but...
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one of their big things. You
is
know,
it?
Him and the other thing where it's like a single activist is in prison for something. Was it Leonard Pelter?
I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't
Anyways,
been a second
moving
semester
on, moving on now. Okay.
But anyhow.
Okay, where do the name a group that has the adult, you know, learned man lyrics?
I don't know, off the top of my head... If you want to talk about social commentary or social satire.
Sure, let's do that.
I mean.
Let's say we're doing that. You got nothing?
Not off the top of my head. No,
see,
I
here's the
prepared.
Thing. Here's the thing. Let me start at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
All right. When Dave Matthews, you know, reached his height of popularity in the United States, I was, you know, I was at the kind of age where I did not give a damn about popular music or I didn't listen to it. Either late high school or early college, I don't know, where I was, you know, no, if it's not a new wave band from the 80s, I want nothing to do with it.
Right.
That's kind of what I mean, that's not all the music I listened to, but I was like finding, you know, I was listening to a lot of Talking Heads and, even like Devo and stuff. So, that was, you know, kind of what was going on then for me. And so I ended up actually liking Dave Matthews' music, but I...
Because it's a lot like Devo.
It's not far off, but I don't own a Dave Matthews album, for instance. I like Dave Matthews music. I would never go to a Dave Matthews Band concert because I don't want to be around Dave Matthews Band people.
Which is,
I'm making some assumptions about Dave Matthews Band people. It's like OAR. I like OAR's music. I do not want to be around OAR people. But
I can just give this away to you right now. Same people.
Yeah, it's the same people. Exactly. But here's the thing. I like the song. I think it's, you know, hey, sure, maybe if you wrote the lyrics down and, you know, try to get an English professor to grade it, he might put it in high school. But that's the problem.
Be like, it's C+, obviously. Basically, because when I was saying talking about the high school sophomore thing,
right.
To me, the characteristic of that, like the characteristic trait of that is... Which basically just, you just discovered that something exists and
right.
You're upset about it. Like,
well,
for example, like that song, and also he did some song with Santana that was like, is actually practically the same song as this lyrically. Which is basically just like, what? Injustice exists? That's bad.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
And like, for example,
but
there was
I
that
don't
song
think this is about injustice
he did
injustice.
With Alanis Morissette, which is like, colonialism? Oh, it turns out that's bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that... Here's the thing. I don't think that that's why they wrote the songs, because they discovered that they were bad. They probably felt that way a long time and had a hard time framing it into music or...
Yeah, I'm just saying just, that's
you know,
sort of the sense the songs give.
But
I don't think he literally cracked a book.
I don't hear anyone out there doing music where the topic or the lyrics are, you know, graduate-level philosophy papers. You know, it's just... There's nobody deconstructing anything in music. Well, probably because there's... I mean, even if you took, like... let's say... a really long Yes song, or maybe, you know, Kashmir by Led Zeppelin, that length of song, and you tried to deconstruct something, you wouldn't have the time.
Yeah, it's complicated. I mean, I think you're
and taking... And rhyming, forget about rhyming.
I was. I think you're taking what I meant by social commentary a little.
Oh, I see. Now I'm taking it a little blah blah blah. No, the point is that it's hard. I mean, these people have spent their, you know, million hours or whatever training themselves to play music, not to deconstruct ontological concepts.
I'm just not sure where deconstruction came in on all of this, because you're talking about social commentary.
I know, but I'm saying, well, beyond, what do you go beyond social commentary? Social commentary ends up in something like a Marxist, a Marxist paper about the concepts in society that are holding people back, and, you know, then trying to deconstruct those concepts. You don't start with, social commentary ends at a certain point, and philosophy begins, and that's where music kind of doesn't cover. Work. It doesn't go any further there. But I mean, seriously, what are you going to write about as your high-end social commentary? If not what Rage Against the Machine did in a song like Testify. You know what I mean? That's a good, it's a song about the connection between oil, military industrial complexes and things like that, and also the basic passive nature of the populace.
Right.
I think that's pretty much as high as you go on social commentary before you get into Marxist jingoism or something like that.
In fairness, I think they're already into pretty Marxist jingoism.
I don't know. I only listened to one band that could be considered Russian, and they're, you know, the Red Elvises, so they don't do a lot of social commentary.
No, that's not really on their agenda.
No, I'm just wondering, where in the 40s and 50s were, you know, where communism was still a really popular thing in the USSR. Were there, like, you know, Marxist jingoist bands talking about, you know, the proletariat, or...
You'd have to assume there were.
I wonder if they sounded like Dave Matthews. Hey, ha, ha. People should control the means of production.
Man, does that... Because that's such a weird twang.
I don't know.
Here's my question is...
My Dave Matthews impersonation is terrible.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just a weird twang because that was a terrible impersonation. But also even his actual voice is just a weird twang with English. Like, would that even work with, like, Russian phonemes?
I have no idea. But how about maybe...
I feel like Russian has a lot of heavy consonants.
I realized partway in there I was... Yeah.
Like, it just sounds eventually like a bestial creature.
Partway in I was very strongly influenced by Eddie Vedder, too, partway into that impersonation.
Yeah, because you started with the...
Something that people should control the means of production.
Yeah, you kind of went halfway between the two.
You know, that kind of thing, yeah. But Pearl Jam...
That was all over the place.
Pearl Jam, I'm told, did social commentary, but how the hell would I know? Like, what the hell is going on in this song? I know the song Jeremy is apparently about a kid bringing a gun to school, but only because I've watched the video. I don't know what the rest of that music is about.
I don't know. The only thing I know about Jeremy is that and Who Are You are the two songs that taught me, you know, you can't swear on the radio except when you can. For no good reason.
You can't swear on the radio except when people decide you can't really tell that they're swearing. Even though in Who Are You,
no,
it's pretty clear.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy is pretty obvious, but Who Are You is just extraordinarily clear and Daltrey enunciates, and, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's Who the Fuck Are You.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I actually, that's one of my ringtones, as you know. It's my ringtone for Unidentified Caller.
Right.
I like, which is most people who call me, because, you know, I don't have everybody's name in my contact list. So it goes with Who Are You, and I specifically cropped the part with the Who the Fuck Are You, which gets me great looks when you're on the bus, you know, and somebody calls.
Yeah, because your telephone said a bad word on the bus.
Yeah, and people are dismayed, you know. What kind of citizen am I being? Terrible one. One who's not making social commentary with his phone, which is what I should be doing. I should be cutting parts out of songs to make social commentary whenever my phone rings. Or, like, maybe books on tape of something by, you know, some prominent social philosopher.
Or maybe that Randy Newman song about rednecks.
Or the Randy Newman song about short people, because that's political. I hear short people got no reason to live. That's deep, man. Also brutal. I mean, just brutal.
Yeah, that is mean.
Why doesn't Dave Matthews swear in his songs? There should be more swearing in Dave Matthews songs.
He's sworn in a couple of his songs.
Yeah, but he should really be out there, you know what I mean? If he's going to make social commentary like this, like, hey, why are people eating out when people are starving? It should be, there should be some F-bombs. Mm-hmm. Also, I think everybody should say F-bomb whenever they mean to use the word fuck. Like, F-bomb you. Or, what the F-bomb are you doing here?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Because people like use it as an abstract. Like, they say, oh, he was dropping F-bombs. Or, there are some F-bombs in that. But they never replace the word fuck with F-bomb.
With F-bomb.
Which I think works.
Yeah. You can talk about dropping the F-bombs, but you never
drop an F-bomb. You drop the F-bomb. Right. F-bomb this segment, Dave. F-bomb this segment. I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. The Foundation Institute will be sponsoring its annual post-structuralist pizza party on August 25th.
Come along for an exciting day of pizza and discussion. Remember, the flavor of your pizza is entirely determined by its context and your reaction to it. This is not the death of the baker. It is the birth of the eater.
The Foundation Institute. Planning for the future and tomorrow. And welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 5. Dave,
yeah.
Current events, Dave. There's been a lot of talk about this nationalized healthcare plan. And, you know, what was put forth in Congress, you know, single payer, you know, socialism. Are we going to be Canada? Are we going to be Sweden? Are we going to be Denmark? I don't know which European or, you know, otherwise British satellite country we're going to be. But
I don't know, but I can say, as a man who is going to need to purchase in the next 2 weeks a lot of low-quality modernist Swedish furniture, I know what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, yeah, that's easy. But it's just been, it's been a topic, and a lot of people are talking about a somewhat ridiculous idea. Well, I think a problematic idea about possibly turning this over to states and, you know, giving states the right to decide if they're going to have statewide health care.
Right. I mean, some states do already.
And so that's brought me to this question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important. If I were going to make a U.S. state from whole cloth, what would it be like? Where would it be? And what other states would it be like?
So, like, when you say make a state from whole cloth, are we basically just saying, like, there is a 51st U.S. state, it has always been there, and is a part of the fabric of the and history of these United States?
Absolutely.
What was it like?
Yes, what is it like right now? I mean, you know, I don't care about what it was like in 1938, but... Right, right, that's exactly what I'm asking, Dave. Did you have an idea on this topic? Did you have a...
I've got a couple preliminary thoughts, yeah.
Go for it. Well, I'd like to hear them.
I think some of the things you start out with are... Obviously, you just sort of drop the boring states. You know,
okay.
That's because we
don't. You're actually getting rid of states, or you're saying we don't even.
No, I'm just saying in terms
states.
Of conceptually, like
okay.
In terms of what we're putting into our new state.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm not saying like literally like Nebraska, see ya, because that's not the point of this exercise.
No, it's not.
Don't get me wrong. If it was, I would, because you know,
Nebraska.
Fuck those corn huskers.
F bomb those corn huskers.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right.
But that's not this exercise. But I'm saying, you know, there are not, you know, there are not, you know, Nebraskan traits or South Dakotan traits that I want to pull into this new state. Like,
okay.
It needs to be a state with some good quirks. You know what I mean?
All right. And?
So, trying to think, I want to say... either coastal or near a border or both.
Okay. Which border would you pick if you had to pick one of the two? You know, northern or southern?
Northern.
Northern border. You like the Canucks.
Yeah, northern border and probably East Coast, because...
Well, that's good, because then you can sneak into their state and steal their health care.
Yeah, and also this is just my... These are just my biases showing, you know, I'm an East Coast guy, I'm a northern guy, you know. My state is probably going to, you know... I mean, I may borrow some of the better things from, you know, other cultural centers of the United States, but... That's probably going to be my bread and butter for characteristics, is the Northeast.
Okay.
So trying to think what I want.
Like, all right. Well, would you like to hear my concept? I've thought about it a bit.
Go for it.
My concept of the state is that it would be a large, mostly... you know, east to west state. I'm thinking
like kind of a Tennessee.
Yeah, that shape. Sort of shape. Like Tennessee, right? But it would be along the 40th parallel.
So it'd be like a long
about where we are right now. Well, yeah, we're about in the 40 degrees latitude north.
Right.
But it would actually cover from the east coast all the way to the west coast. It would just be a long strip.
Oh, wow, just a long strip of a state.
And its main feature would be high-speed rail that would go from the East Coast to the West Coast. See, this, Dave, it's not working harder. It's working smarter, right?
Okay, so this state is more just an excuse of like, well, this is our state transportation budget. We need it for our state.
Right, exactly.
So you're just using this state as a kind of to sneak in... Cross-country high-speed rail.
That's right. But think about it. Now it's going to be in my state.
Right.
I'm charging people... I'm charging Europeans who are shipping their stuff to China, you know? They just come to my wonderful docks that I've set up on the East Coast.
Right.
We put it onto the freight rail. Flies across the country. Bam! Ends up... I don't know where... That's probably Oregon somewhere, Northern California. Well, I mean, now it's my state. Chucksylvania.
And, you're going to Chucksylvania?
Chucksylvania. And bam, we offloaded into a boat. It's just working smarter. Also, it's got all sorts of wonderful terrain features. You know, you've got the Rocky Mountains further out. You got some nice plains in the middle.
Rocky Mountain High.
You got two different
beaches. It's a cross-section of America.
Right.
It's a good
cross-section of America because it doesn't go anywhere in the South or through Texas. So.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm saving a lot of people... A lot of trouble. Like, I can deal with most of the states along the 40th parallel. So, we're all good. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
I'm talking to you, Illinois. We're friends.
I'd have to call up a map, but I don't know if I trust that.
Idaho. I don't know if it goes through Idaho, but yeah, Idaho.
Idaho!
I know you have a lot of strong feelings about Idaho. But the swath state... I mean, it would just make a more perfect union. I just love this idea, though. Mm-hmm. I really do. I want my vertical state. Horizontal state. Yeah. I want my horizontal state. A vertical state I considered. Couldn't think of a good place to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Just couldn't.
Okay, so I see you've kind of gone the route that's more just thinking about it on pure infrastructure. But I guess sort of spinning back to some of the questions you were asking me, or at least the way I was taking those questions, like...
Well, it's good to take it from different angles.
Yeah,
do you want to know the history of Chucksylvania?
I'm going to, but also what I want to know is, because this is what I at least thought you were asking me but haven't really gotten into about Chucksylvania.
Yes.
So I will, you know, interview you back about it, I guess.
Go ahead.
Like, what state characteristics does that have? I mean, you've talked about, you know, the features, which, you know, it has naturally as, you know, a cross-section of...
Well,
but, like, you know, the same way where it's like... Because when you said state characteristics, what I assumed you meant was, like, this state would, you know, think that everything's bigger, like in Texas. Or, you know, this state would be looked at weirdly, like, snidely. Like, Republicans would hate this state like they hate Massachusetts.
Yeah, I was thinking the characteristics, like, okay. I've always lived in Pennsylvania, which is what some people call Pennsylvania, usually in election years. Because the middle of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, parts of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania.
Right.
Yeah.
The middle of Pennsylvania is very rural, hillbilly, conservative, gun-toting, crazy people.
Yeah.
Also, some nice people, but let's face it.
Yeah, I mean, I've met plenty of nice people from around there.
Gun-toting crazy people.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
I mean, there's a guy, a freshman guy from Pennsylvania, who gave me deer jerky. And that
deer
was pretty tasty.
Deer jerky can be tasty, yeah. So, but I think the state as a whole has the characteristics more of like a Maine. Because the people are mostly spread out pretty far from one another, so they have a more independent bend.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They do things their own way. And also lobsters, which
right.
go on high-speed rail. So you can get...
But do they drive them?
No, but you can get a fresh lobster anywhere in Chucksylvania because of high-speed rail.
Ah, well, yeah. High-speed rail will get a lot of fresh stuff from place to place.
Yeah. So, and it's elevated, too. Did I mention it's elevated rail?
No, but...
Oh, yeah, it's elevated, baby.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's solid. That's solid. I'm really in love with this. I cannot wait to be governor of Chucksylvania. Because when people hear this idea, they're going to amend constitutions. They're going to do whatever they can.
You just carve a lot of space from a lot of states.
Right, right. Governors, if you're interested in this idea, or state senators and congresspeople... Just start the movement, and trust me, everybody will jump on board.
Here's the problem, though.
Yeah.
With Chucksylvania, it's like, all it takes is one obstinate governorship. I'm not naming names, but I'm thinking it's going to be Idaho, and...
I know, those Idahoans...
Idahos.
Oh, the Idahos? Okay. Those yeah. Idahos are very contrary. They're contrarians. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I did have another state idea. It doesn't really need explaining. I can just tell you the name of it.
Go for it.
Chuckstralia.
Mm-hmm. So it's just like in Australia, but it's maybe off the coast of...
No, where? It's just Australia, but it's a U.S. state.
Oh, okay.
And it's dedicated to me.
Okay.
That's a recurring theme.
Yeah, yeah. Egoism. I catch that, yes.
So where would your state be?
I'm trying to think. Geographically?
That is what I mean, not where would your state be, you know, in its life mm-hmm. cycle or, you know, pupa larval stage.
Yeah. You know what I think I want to do?
What do you want to do?
I want to get something between Massachusetts and Connecticut.
Wow, you're squeezing in some tight area there.
No, it's because I like Massachusetts, and I don't like Connecticut.
Oh, I see. I thought maybe you liked the part of Massachusetts that was close to Connecticut and the part of Connecticut that was close to Massachusetts. Thus, squeeze it in there, and you get the best of both worlds.
Basically, I think New England needs a better New England state than Connecticut. Connecticut's not pulling its weight.
How's Connecticut falling short? I mean, it's mostly New Yorkers, isn't it?
Well, half of them are like... Basically, half of it is like New Yorker, fucking Yankee fan, banker, asshats.
I noticed you slipped Yankee fan in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I did.
Okay. Moving on.
That is like a distinct state. You can tell where in Connecticut you are. You look at hats. It's a thing as you get from like Massachusetts, Connecticut to New York, Connecticut.
Yeah. You get from the Boston Red Sox hats to the Yankee hats.
Yep.
Nobody's wearing Mets hats.
No. That's like Jersey. It's Jersey.
I love that that New York has two teams, but they aren't really the same area. In almost every sport, one is the Jersey team.
Yeah.
And then one
Even
is like...
Even when they play in the same place sometimes.
Yep. And it's just weird. But anyways, so sports is among your many concerns. I hadn't thought about sports teams when I conceived of Chucksylvania.
That's going to be tricky because that's... Man, the TV rights are going to be confusing as fuck for Chucksylvania.
Yeah, the NFL's going to have to be... They're already confusing as fuck.
Yeah.
People in Buffalo, or I mean, people in, Northern Pennsylvania get Buffalo Bills games as their local game. What? Surely they're either Eagles or Steelers fans. No.
No.
You get
Bills. You're closer to the Bills, I guess.
In spirit. I don't know. But the Chucksylvania team would probably be the Chucksburg Chuckwagons.
Man.
Their mascot would be, of course, the Chuckwagon, which is a it's a covered wagon where food from which food is served.
Yeah.
So,
like,
yeah.
Are you going to be wearing, like, because I'm just thinking how your state could be more egomaniacal for you. Like,
right.
When you govern, would you wear a Napoleon hat?
I'm not saying I wouldn't. But it might just be in the privacy of the gubernatorial office. And I'm only going to be governor for 2 terms or whatever the term limit is. I mean, I'm not supreme ruler, you know, publicly. I mean, privately I am. You know, like they kind of got going in Russia. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're the Putin of Chucksylvania. I am the Putin
of Chucksylvania.
Fortunately,
and I poison dudes.
I've looked into your eye. Looked into your eyes, and I've seen your soul.
Yeah, that's what matters.
Oh, that is just the most... I mean, there were things that were done by our previous president.
Yes, during the Bush administration.
Yeah, and I'm going to make this short, because yes. I don't want to...
You don't want to make it a whole thing, right? No,
but there were obviously things that were more damaging. War, death, all that stuff.
Right.
But just in terms of sheerly embarrassing me...
Yeah.
I think the whole looking into Vladimir Putin's eyes and seeing his soul thing is a number one.
It's humbling, to say the least. But, you know, George Bush was a governor before he was president.
It's true.
Maybe after being governor of Chucksylvania, I could, you know, run for president of the United States of Chuckmerica. Now, I'm not saying they would change the name of the country just because I was president, Dave. They would change the name of the country before I became president because of how I revolutionized our economy, society, and everything else with my high-speed rail.
And you're putting a lot of eggs in that high-speed rail basket.
Let me tell you, it's the future. But yeah, what would if you're not bringing high-speed rail to the table in Connecticut, what kind of economy? Is it going to be a lobster-based economy?
No, because that's not quite...
Crab-based economy? Clam-based economy?
There'll be some clamming, you know? Now, here's what I think...
Wicked awesome-based economy?
No, here's what I think it's going to do. Basically, if you haven't been to Cape Cod, I assume, but...
No.
You know, there's a province town in Cape Cod... P-Town, basically.
P-Town.
It's one of the big sort of...
So like A-Town, but in
gay...
P?
Like, it's basically gay. Gay-Town. It's Gay-Town, basically.
Okay, Gay-Town, right.
It's just, you know, really popular gay tourist destination, really popular gay haven.
Really popular gay tourist destination?
Like, gay summering, like...
I wasn't aware
gay,
of
it's a very gay-friendly town.
I wasn't aware that gay summering was a thing, but...
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, it's a summer, you just go gay for a summer.
All right, I could see doing that, you know, for the cash. But anyways, go ahead.
But anyhow, so I think this sort of Connecticut, Massachusetts hybrid state would mostly have a gay-based economy.
Gay-based economy. I can get behind that. I do like the gays.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, we could wrap up this whole episode by talking about one thing and one thing only. It deals with lyrics as social commentary, and your little gay town.
Hey, my medium-sized gay state.
Your medium-sized gay state. And that is, did you know that Katy Perry's initial, you know, popular song, I don't know if you know it, she did the
I Kissed a Girl song that's not the good one by Jill Sobule.
Right, I would rate it second in overall in I Kissed a Girl songs by girls.
I mean, it's second in that it's the only other one, but it's a fucking awful song.
I don't think it's awful. It's just poppy. It's like Lady Gaga. It's like, my brain's like enjoying it, and I also realize it's not contributing in any positive way to my life.
Okay, but anyhow, continue.
Her first song is called You're So Gay. You are, like, you would, like, as if you were IMing someone, you're so gay. You are so gay.
Yeah, I remember that song, actually.
And I didn't...
Mostly I remember that song because I was, like, listening, because I remember vaguely hearing the chorus on the radio. I mean, that song saying, you're so gay?
Yeah.
Like, because she's saying it in a really messed up way. You're so gay and you don't even like boys or something like that.
But the point of it really is I can't... I've listened to it, considering her other songs and their relative lack of an intellectual basis, I'm not really certain if she's trying to parody homophobia, parody what teenagers use as, you know, insults or derogatory terms. Is it social commentary? Is it just blatant homophobia? What's going on?
I think it's more just the blatant homophobia. I don't think she's aware enough to be rolling with the parody thing. Because, I mean, which is really the weird thing, though,
is... she's a snazzy dresser.
Yeah, and
she
it's
does,
weird
like, a retro
like her,
dressing thing. I find it very appealing.
Her first two singles were just, like, blatantly homophobic and blatantly capitalizing on, like, cheap lipstick lesbianism. Respectively,
yeah.
But
yeah, but that's what I mean. Are they social commentary? What's going on?
No, I think
you
they're
think
just that
deft.
I think they're just that kind of desperate.
Do you know that she did gospel music first?
I did not know.
The kind of person who goes from gospel music to pop music, maybe they can do social commentary.
I don't know. Maybe her gospel music was basically the same. Maybe she just changed it from you're so gay and you don't even like Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it might have just evolved from that. I could see that. But the point is, Dave, that if you do a song that could be interpreted as blatant homophobia, once the initial, you know, surge of fame from being controversial hits and flows off, you should explain yourself. That's all I'm saying. If she ever came to Czechoslovakia, there'd be an immediate inquiry into it. I'm just saying. We'd be asking questions. If Phil Collins ever came, we would sit him down.
And make him explain Sussudio?
And say, what? Seriously? You just
left it.
You just left it. You just left it Sussudio. Could have been Tutudio. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I feel like that was a sideways step at best.
Well, I'm just saying I don't think that. I've been confused for years about Sussudio. It probably caused me. I'm saying maybe there was an incident in my life where it caused me to make a poor judgment because my brain was simultaneously trying to process some important event and the lyrics to Sussudio.
Uh-huh. And, you know, now that we're back on Sussudio, I've got to say, you know, we've come full circle. The loop is closed.
The loop is closed.
I think there's nothing we can do now but go out on top.
Yeah. We've created the Ouroboros. The snake is eating its own tail.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I said it last week, so it was your turn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. It shows you how much I pay attention to what you say.
I know.
I do remember it now, but, you know. At any rate, there is a sprinkled cookie crisp in the next room calling my name, so we better wrap this up. I don't want to eat it on the podcast like I did with the brine foods.
Oh, that was...
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Even after re-listening to it, I think it was a solid piece. High production values.
Oh, I mean, it was a fine piece, but, I mean, the sort of vague disgust that was my role in that piece stemmed not from acting, nor from, you know... a humorous bit, but it was because I thought it was gross.
Okay, we're not actors. We're podcast hosts. Mm-hmm. Brian is delicious, and lyrics are confusing. So, just out there to everyone from here in the lovely Pittsburgh studios, this has been I'm Trying to Think Episode 5. We hope you had fun. Dave, did you have fun?
I did. I mean, like I said last week, you know, I was not you, so I was not going to go on and on about my birthday. Plus, we pretty much wrung that well dry last week. But
I was waiting for you. We had an
important discussion. Informed. Yeah. It's like what I said last week, you know. It's informed, you know. I think hovering around this whole podcast, there's been the knowledge that it was my birthday. Actually, but I didn't feel the need to make a big deal. Actually,
here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing. I'm going to reveal this to you now as we end the show. That I didn't mention your birthday at all because I thought maybe you had forgotten it. Because, you know, I know you well, Dave, and I just thought maybe, I'm like, maybe Dave has forgotten it's his birthday. Let's see how far we can get into the show. But happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you. I totally hadn't, but the plausibility of that chills me to the bone.
It's true. Everybody out there, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with episode 6 of I'm Trying to Think. Have a great week. You're so gay and you don't even like boys.
So, you want to hear a song about Fred Schneider being angry because someone has poured sugar in the gas tank of his motorcycle?
I'm glad that such a song exists, but no, I do not want to listen to it.
Too bad! Sugar in my heart.